Now, Andrew, I read about one of your financial hero, Russ the Mechanic.
Yeah.
You think your financial sense would be any different if you did not meet this guy, Russ the Mechanic, when you were 19?
It's so funny you say that. I have a feeling if I had not met Russ, I probably would only have one quarter of the net worth I currently do.
Wow, that's a big difference, yeah?
Yeah, it was just the right time and the right place. So I was young, I was very impressionable, and I was very, very impressed. This guy was so honest with me, and that was one of the things that was just so darn inspiring. He said to me, come on out to my house, and we actually became friends, and he brought out his statements. He brought out his investment statements, and we really chatted about how he ended up building this portfolio. He took me around, and he likes single-family homes, and this guy owns a whole slew of family homes in Victoria, British Columbia today, and those homes are worth quite a bit of money. But he took me around and showed me the homes, and he talked me yield, the whole concept of rental yield. And he was a really opinionated guy, very entertaining in this respect, because he really recognized that so many very educated people weren't financially educated. So he was the one who really taught me about real estate yields. And back to your original question, there's no way I'd have anywhere near the money that I have today if it wasn't for me meeting that one guy.
Do you meet Russ after that?
You know, I didn't actually see him for years, but I wrote an article ended up being titled How I Got Rich on a Middle Class Salary. And I actually ended up writing about him, and I think it was 2005, and it ended up being nominated a finalist for a national publishing award in Canada.
Yeah.
And so family members ended up phoning him and saying, Russ, you're in this national magazine. And I hadn't seen him for a really long time, and I ended up going to Victoria. I probably hadn't seen him for, it may have been at least a decade, at least 10 years. And I just drove up to his house. There he was in the front yard, and he runs into the house and he brings out the magazine, and he was really really excited. It was fun to actually phone him, because what I did was, when I wrote the book, it was funny because the publisher actually asked me, okay, now, you put this cartoon in the book. Do you have permission for the cartoon? Do you have the license for it? Yes, I have license for all that. Okay. What about this Russ Perry guy? Do you have an actual, you know, do you have word from him that this is okay to have him in the book? And I thought, geez, I don't. So I phoned him, and I said, hey, Russ. And I ended up, and he was really, really happy. He was really proud, and we had this great conversation. And I said to him, I said, do you realize what you did? Because of you, Russ, and this was really cool, it really touched him. I said, because of you, there are hundreds of families in Cambodia right now that have fresh drinking water that never would have had it. And I said, Russ, because of you, there are girls in India who can actually afford to go to school who never would have been able to. And so what happened was Russ inspired me, and I was able to amass my wealth. I ended up with really more money than I need. And the operative word there is need. And I was able to look around and see that there were people in this world who really could use some help. And I'm not talking about giving people money and actually weakening them, because that's really what ends up happening. But to give people money so that they can learn to read and write, that strengthens them. To give an organization money that will build wells for fresh water, everybody in this world has the right to fresh water wells. And I think he actually became quite emotional when I told him that indirectly, without you realizing this, you have actually contributed to this by educating me.
That's really a heartwarming story to hear. Yep, it really is.
And my hope too is, and I said this to Russ, I said, I'm teaching this personal finance class now, and a part of it is about stewardship. If you amass wealth, one of the great things is, sure, goal one, great, your financial independence, wonderful. But at the same time, stewardship, actually helping other people with your good fortune, is important. And so when I said to Russ, think about all of the students that I am now impacting and the people who they in turn, if I do my job right, will actually be able to help. And I then pointed back to him and said, man, it's amazing how far just one man, or how many people one man can influence.
Really amazing.
Yeah, it's a fun story. Absolutely.
So, Andrew, do you plan to retire, or I phrase it in another way, that what is your retirement plan, and what would you imagine yourself doing when you do retire?
Well, right now, I'm just having so much fun just doing the job that I do. I absolutely love it. And I will do that as long as I enjoy it. And here's the beauty of being financially independent, which I am. I have that option. The moment the job doesn't become fun, I move on. I can move on to do another job. I can move on to do volunteer work. I can move on for a while to travel the world. It's great just the options that it actually gives me. So I don't have an actual date where I say, all right, well, that's a point in time where I'm actually going to do nothing. I'll probably always do something. And when I actually do retire, if I do sort of decide not to do any work at all, I'd probably set a goal to do something like an Ironman at age 70 or something crazy and fun.
And you will definitely be in the headline.
80. I won't be the first 70-year-old to do the Ironman. There are lots of guys are out there doing that kind of thing, and that's inspirational.